Thank you, Lord. Thank you for another day. Thank you for the opportunity to come together once again to worship you, to hear from you. Lord, speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, if I can talk. You know, most of y'all know that I grew up in more of a charismatic Pentecostal type environment. My goodness, I'm having trouble with my voice. Just a second here. Maybe one of these will help. All right, praise God. And I would say that there were a lot of wonderful things about that upbringing. I saw for myself and had real experiences where the Holy Spirit was discernibly moving, and I myself have been in circumstances where the evidence, I would say, of God's power was so intense that you could not stand up. I was given the gift of tongues at 7, and I have experienced the joy of unrestricted worship. But then there were some awesome things that I would say were not so good. A lot of weirdness goes on, and you know, I don't mind saying a lot of weirdness goes on in God's name. I think a lot of times what happens is that, you know, God does something that was real, and then everybody starts trying to imitate it, and things get a little crazy. A lot of times you end up with ceremonies. You end up with the same things that it's basically just a different set of, and I've said that before, just a different set of traditions that are just as dead as what people came from, just maybe a little more fun to watch. But, and unfortunately, the Holy Spirit sometimes gets reduced to a performer in a show. And then when that happens, guess what? He doesn't. Now, of course, he's in all of the people that are there that are truly believers, but he's not going to put on a show. He's not going to perform for us. But that is, and there's a point in all that. You wonder, how does that connect at all to what we're talking about today? And this is the connection. That's where I met the groaners. Have you ever been in a service where people were quote-unquote groaning in the spirit? And again, I don't doubt their sincerity. I don't doubt that there might be something wonderful happening inside their hearts. I don't ever want to. You will not ever find me casting aspersions on somebody else's faith experience unless it's obviously unbiblical. And then that has to be addressed. Some of that comes from the passage that we're looking at today. And it's just a couple of verses. And I was actually going to go ahead and move on to the next section, which is one of our favorites. And we'll get to that hopefully in a couple of weeks about all things working together for good. But it's all tied together. Or really, I should say, God working all things together for good. We'll make sure I say that right, because it is all God. But and all things to those that love Him. But yeah, Some of the things that go on, I have no doubt that they're sincere people, but sometimes I wonder just what kind of spirits they got a hold of. But there is a real comforting message in this passage. Because we know all of us have been through it. All of us have experienced it. We've all been around long enough to have no argument with the reality that life involves some suffering. But the beauty is, the wonderful thing is, that you have a God who understands your suffering. And when you pray and you don't know what to say, and the reason why this is so special to me at this point, and I didn't really do a very good job of capturing it as I was taking notes at midnight last night, but the reason why this got my attention so much is because of the struggle I've often had in my own life, and even honestly have been going through recently, where it's hard to pray. Lord, what is there left to say? You know what I want. You know what I think I need. All these people that I pray for, you know what I think they need. What else is there for me to say? I don't know how to pray. But this tells us that because we as believers have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, that we have, how do I want to put this? I didn't find the right word. We have an intercessor who is able to express those things that we cannot. And he is connected to, and he is the God of the universe. He knows what we need better than we do. And in those times when we don't have the words anymore, he speaks for us. And he is connected with us and cares about us in such a way that even his expression is too deep for words. This comes as part of a context of Paul has been writing here, and he's talked in chapter 8 about how we have been adopted into his family. The Holy Spirit within us confirms that we are part of his family. If you don't have that going on, we need to talk. And it's not something you're necessarily aware of all the time, but there's a knowing inside of you. And if it's not there, we need to make sure it gets there. We are heirs, though, heirs with Jesus. He talked about that, and what that means, we can't even guess. But because of that, we have his Spirit, and we also, though, he goes in chapter 7 or verse 17 there. We're in Romans chapter 8, by the way. If I didn't say that, I think everybody knows that anyway. Been there a while. But verse 17, though, has that suffix at the end. If we participate in his sufferings, uh-oh. And yes, we must figuratively crucify the flesh. And put those things aside that don't please him, and choose to follow him, choose to be led by his Spirit instead of by our own desires. But we, along with the rest of creation, are also suffering the effects of sin. And we will until Jesus comes back and straightens things out. And suffering, by its very nature, it hurts, it's painful. It makes us groan. But we have hope. That's what we talked about last week. We have hope And we are eagerly awaiting that time when Jesus comes back and sets everything right. And we get to see the completion of what he started when we became his. I'm just going to read two verses today, picking up in verse 26 of chapter 8. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps us, helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Lord is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. In the same way, it says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Well, okay, what is the immediate question is, what does in the same way mean there? What does that refer back to? Now, there are a couple of different ways of looking at that, different interpretations or scholarly attempts to resolve that. And for some, it is a reference to the unseen. We hope for those things that we don't see yet. And the Spirit intercedes for us concerning the things that we cannot know. But there's also another reference to groaning here. It talks about creation groaning under the effects of corruption. And we, as we suffer also, we have those times when we are groaning either inwardly or outwardly. The older we get, more outward it gets to be, seems like. But the Holy Spirit, in sympathy and in compassion, groans with us. He is with us. He feels for us. He feels with us. You have the God of the universe within you, and He cares and He loves you. It says He helps us in our weakness, the weakness of our flesh, which we've talked about at length. And in the weakness of our ignorance, so many things that we just can't know. It says we don't know how to pray as we should. I don't know about you, but one of the first things that pops into my head was, we had the Lord's Prayer, right? He told us how to pray. But it's more than that. There are so many things that are just beyond our ability to understand or know. The things that God knows, what really needs to be. We don't know how to pray because we don't know everything that God knows. Maturity teaches us the truth of this. One of my favorite sayings is, the more you know, the more you know you don't know. We know what we want. We know how we think things should be. We know what we think is best. And then generally, that's what we pray for. We want the circumstances that are painful to change. We want the people that we care about to be restored. We want our situation to improve, whatever that may mean for us individually. We imagine with a great deal of arrogance, if you think about it a little bit, we imagine essentially what we would do in God's place. I mean, isn't that really what we're saying? Especially if we get upset, and I have, I'm saying this from personal experience. I'm using that we literally. I get upset, or have in the past, and probably will again, because God didn't do it my way. Like if I was Him, I would do it. Well, no. Well, first of all, you're not. But that tends to be how we think. We think God should act like us. It's a sure it's a good thing he doesn't. But hopefully we come to a place where we also know how much information we're missing, how much we don't know. We don't know what's inside the heart of another person. We're not able to make decisions for them, and we're not able to see what God can see. So there comes a point at which, as we're praying for others, we have to leave that in God's hands. He's not necessarily going to tell us. It's none of our business. We don't know every detail of the circumstances. That are the object of our prayer. Certainly we don't know that for others, but really we don't even know it for ourselves. We ask these things and we think we have, I've talked about some of my own struggles and the things that I've prayed for, and I don't know what I'm asking for. I don't know what my life would have been like if God had done what I wanted him to do. I have to get to a place where I trust him and know what I don't know. I don't know what God may be doing in any given situation that will produce a greater good down the road. But I have to believe that he promised it. And that because he promised it, I have to believe it's true. That he's going to work things out. For my greater good. If we talk, we'll talk in a couple weeks, maybe about, or I guess we'll talk about it next week. I had my days confused. Unless God steps in and changes things, we'll be in verse 28 next week, where the one that we're all familiar with, God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And boy, don't we cling on to that. We also tend to distort it, but that'll be next week's message. But we have to believe that. And if we believe that, it causes us to look at our circumstances differently. Things so many of us, or rephrase that, that's why so many of us respectfully pray, Lord, if it be your will, if that's what you want, please do it. Which, I guess, if you think about it, seems like kind of a silly thing to say, but because if that's what he won't, well, yeah, I guess that, you know, then he's going to do it. But we are, and I've heard people. When I was growing up, I heard preachers making fun of that. Well, you don't have any faith. You know, if you're asking if it be will, you don't really believe he'll do it. You don't really have any faith if you're saying that. That was the way they put it. And that may be. But it may also be an expression of appropriate humility. Lord, in this situation, I don't know your will. I don't know what you're doing. I mean, I know what I would think it would be. I know that you're a healer. I know that you love, and it would seem to me that if you love this this person, or if you love me even, that you would do this for me. But I don't see the whole picture. And so I need to be humble and say, Lord, as Jesus did in the garden, not my will, but yours be done. So I don't look askance at somebody anymore that says, if it be your will. I might even do that myself. Because there's so many times we just don't know. And some of us presume too much. It may, in fact, be an expression of great faith that recognizes that our good and sovereign Lord knows best. But here's the wonderful thing. In the midst of all that not knowing, in the midst of whatever suffering we may be going through, it may be something obvious, it may be something that's only inside of us that nobody else is seeing. But the thing that we can know is that the Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit of God, consider who this is that Paul is talking about, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God that lives in you as a believer, as someone who has made Jesus your Lord, as has been invited into His family. You have His Holy Spirit. You have the Spirit of Almighty God, and He helps you with groanings too deep for words. We know this kind of grief, where there just doesn't seem to be anything to be said. And the pain is so terrible that no words are adequate to express what we're feeling. We might try, or we might just cry. But He's there. And He intercedes on your behalf. He knows it too. He is able to express the things that we cannot. And He knows what we need to make it right. And we can't even ask, but He does so on our behalf. We can't, but He can. And in verse 27, we see the unity. We see the unity of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's written kind of, it's kind of hard to parse out the way it's written, and I believe I've done it properly without actually being able to dig into the Greek. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Well, if he who searches the Spirit is the one who's able to, who's inside of us and knows our hearts. But here, the Spirit is being spoken of separately, so we have to be talking about Jesus. And Jesus, it says, because He intercedes for the saints. Well, this is Jesus. You can look in verse 34 that we'll get to next week. You can also look at Hebrews 7:25. John, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, calls Jesus our advocate. He has interceded on our behalf through His blood. We were just thanking Him for it and noting that in our songs today. But He says, according to the will of God. Because it was always God's will to reconcile. It was always God's will to bring us into unity with Him. This whole thing was the Father's idea from the beginning. And Jesus always does the will of the Father. And the Holy Spirit expresses that will in and for us. Now that is, I think, a necessarily simplistic, and I'm not, when I say that, I want to be careful because I'm talking about the Scripture here, but it has to be, the reality has to be simplified for us to even try to understand it. but they all operate, together, and they all operate as one. And you have access to the Creator of the universe because of what Jesus did and because His Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Oh, that ought to have us all on our faces. So, yeah. There are times when we don't know how to pray. And one of the things that I was reminded of this weekend is when you don't know how to pray, do it anyway. You don't need the right words. You don't have to come up with just the right thing to say. Reality is you don't have them. You won't have them. You can't know everything that He knows. But trust that the Holy Spirit within you does. Jesus tells us that He knows what we need even before we ask. And we all know that He knows it better than we do. And yes, He is acquainted with your grief. He is acquainted with your pain. We think of God as being distant and somewhat unrelatable sometimes because we don't get to see Him. We don't get to walk beside Him. We don't get to sit across from Him and have a conversation in the same way that we would another person. But when we're told that Jesus feels our pain, unlike the politicians, He's telling the truth. He actually does understand. Jesus can check all the boxes. Physical pain, malice, hate, rejection, betrayal, He got it all. He experienced it just the way that we do. He went through the full range of human emotions. The only difference is He didn't sin with it. Hebrews tells us He was tempted in all points like we are, or we might say tested in all points like we are, yet He didn't sin. But He's able to sympathize, it says, with our weaknesses. And so when we don't know how to pray, when what we are hearing doesn't seem to be reaching God's ears. I shared the other day. Sometimes I felt like my prayers were bouncing off the ceiling and hit me in the face. But don't get frustrated. Get trustrated. As a pastor, that's not a word. Well, it is now. I just made it up. It is tempting to give up. And I've been there. But Jesus says, don't give up. Be persistent. God will hear you. He tells the story of the unjust judge and the widow in Luke chapter 18. He tells us that the Father is going to give us good things. In Luke chapter 11, there's another gospel that also has that in there. But in this one, he talks about the persistence of an unwilling friend, and then he talks about what the Father and the Father being willing and good. But then he specifically talks about giving the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. And that is, of course, what happens when you let Jesus in as Lord of your life. Sometimes we might even get angry. I have. You can fix it. You can fix anything, God. Why won't you fix this? His answer might be because I'm doing something better. And you can't see it now, but you will. Or, why did you let this happen? And I know that there are things. People look at those of us with blindness or whatever disability we may be facing, they think that's so awful. I can say with a pretty high degree of confidence that there are people in this room who've experienced things far worse, far more damaging to the soul than any physical disability ever could be. And how is it that you know, can God use that? Why did you let that happen? I can understand the pain and the anger and the frustration, and maybe even the feeling that just what point is there in even praying? God's going to do what God's going to do. I've certainly felt that way. But we have to believe. Sometimes when there's no possible way we can understand, we have to believe that what he says is true. And that sounds trite in the face of some of the things that have happened to people. And it sounds almost uncaring. And you know what? From my perspective, maybe it's not as it maybe is a little bit empty. I haven't been there. I don't know what that's like. I can spout words, but I don't have the experience behind it. But I know somebody who does, and I absolutely believe his words. And I do, and I absolutely know that if you'll believe his words, he'll come in and he'll begin to heal those places. He loves you with his life, and his spirit is there to help you if you let him in. Don't know how to pray? That's okay. Next time, we'll see what he will do and why. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in all of our lives. I see you moving. I see you working in little ways, little small ways. Others may not be, may look and say, well, nothing's happening, nothing's happening. Things are even getting worse. But I have seen evidence that you're at work in this body, in this church family, and I thank you, and I trust that you will continue to lead us, you'll continue to guide us, you'll continue to draw us to you and draw us together and show us how to accomplish the purposes that you have for us. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.